Hello, and welcome into another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody. Keeping spirits high. Nice 8-2 week from the boys here. We're going to come at you with our week 4 recap, and then we will look ahead to a couple week 5 lines as well. Cody, I kind of want to just throw it to you because, you know, it's an 8-2 week and you love to see it. We were on very high vibes on Sunday night, but we just came off one of the worst beats I've personally ever seen in my life. So I want you to react to it since it was actually on your ticket.
Yeah, I don't even really know what to say. That's unbelievable the way that game ended. Holy cow. I mean, I haven't even really processed it at all because I have just been baffled by the way that that works out. I'm assuming kind of similar. I don't know. Maybe I guess with a punt, there's a kicking zone you now have to kick into similar to a kickoff. Is that what
I don't think the referees know.
I honestly don't. I was going to say, I have no idea. That's a completely new NFL rule that I'm sure will be explained 100 times on social media between now and tomorrow morning. And can't wait to figure out what happens. But somehow Tennessee gets the ball on the 10-yard line, goes forward on fourth down. So doesn't even break my heart with a kick. It's a Tony Pollard outside run, and he just sneaks into the goal line.
That was the weirdest sequence of events I've ever seen. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. I think it was 430 total yards from both offenses. I mean, we deserve that under, but we'll take the 8-2 week. Let's react to the rest of them real quick. We had a lot of winners on Sunday, so we don't need to dwell on the one loser, even though it just broke our heart about 30 minutes ago. A couple show bets, both of them cash. Indy plus 2.5. Really never much of a doubt till the end, actually. Indy started out really hot in this one. Went up 17-0, and then Pittsburgh slowly clawed back in the second half. Ended up Indy a 3-point win after a bad snap by Pittsburgh late in the game. But basically, we're covering this number the whole time, and I think deserved it. Indy played some decent offense. Obviously, Joe Flacco coming in for Anthony Richardson might have ended up being a good thing for at least some of the pass catchers. But Indianapolis, this was the right side.
Yeah, when Joe Flacco came in and we learned that Anthony Richardson was going to miss the rest of the game. Do you feel better about the bet?
We're great. We're perfect because Anthony Richardson did what he needed to, which was make a couple great plays and get us out to a 10-0 lead. And then he had, what did he go? We went on the 8-yard line. So Flacco just next play, touchdown. So basically Anthony Richardson gave us 17-0 and then handed the reins to Flacco, who's not going to mess it up like Richardson might have. So, yeah, I think that was kind of the perfect way to handle that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I wanted to text you on Sunday, but I didn't want to jinx it because it was still early enough in the game where I was like, this is a bad look if they come back and I jinx it like that. So, but, yeah, no, I was right there with you. That was a great call. Honestly, Justin Fields was kind of dealing towards the end of that second half, so I got a little worried towards the end of that game. But, he, like you said, the bad snap secured the win for us. So, as bad of a beat as I had tonight, it was nice to see that one go our way for sure.
Yeah, another one. I'll go to my second one real quick because it was the exact same game. If you were watching both of them or one of them, they really felt very similar. Minnesota plus 3 ends up a winner. Felt uneasy towards the end there for sure. Minnesota even bigger league, 28-0 on the Packers in the middle of the second quarter. Green Bay crawls their way back into it. Never really gets to a lead, but brings it to within one score with plenty of time left in the fourth. Minnesota ends up closing them out, though, and winning by 2 after a garbage time touchdown from Jordan Love. What'd you think of him, by the way, Cody? How do you think he played?
Depends on which half of football you were watching, I guess.
I think either one, honestly.
Very rough. And then the second half was, I don't know, I'd say a little bit on the luckier side. He looked a little bit better, but definitely looked like a guy coming off an injury that isn't fully healthy. So, yeah, that was rough. I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't just keep Malik Willis out there with how well they've been able to run that offense the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And just let Jordan Love get another week to get healthier because he certainly did not look his best on Sunday.
No, yeah, lots of kind of YOLO balls, really. He had 3 interceptions, and he could have had 2 or 3 more easily, a couple balls that went, kind of 50-50 balls that he just threw up there. But, yeah, that was just It was this. I think this was the right side, Minnesota plus three, even though they almost blew it at the end there. They got out to the lead. We're playing great defense, and this, you know, they had a good time in Green Bay in this win eventually. Cody, I'll throw it back to you. We have a bet on the same game that both of us cash in.
Yep, we will get to that in just a second. Your remark about 50-50 balls sparked up a thought from Saturday for me watching the Georgia-Alabama game. So at first I had Georgia minus 1.5, which that obviously didn't look good from the get-go, but I was like, you know, there's a chance they come back. It's college football. This stuff happens every week. So then at halftime, you could get Georgia plus 1,000 to win outright. So I put $15 to win 150 on them outright. And so they obviously they make the comeback, boom, Bama scores again, and then I just have to sit here and watch Carson Beck just throw up 50-50 balls to, I guess, so that was the only play they were running in the playbook, was like just someone run down the sideline and Carson Beck's just going to toss one up to you and try and
They had
down.
Plenty of time too.
Oh, it was so irritating. And then the one that he threw for the pick was just so underthrown and just like the only place you can't put that ball, and that's where he puts it. Oh, yeah. Just such a bad beat. I mean, that was so close to being just a huge winner for me on Saturday night.
That sucks.
All right. Yeah, back to NFL. Cincy, minus 4.5. They ended up taking it home against Carolina. Didn't feel too down in this one. There was a stretch in the middle of the game that Cincinnati scored 17 unanswered points. And basically from that point, they just rode their lead out through the end of this game. I think it went exactly as we expected. There was a bunch of points scored, and honestly, towards the end of it, I was a little bit worried that we were going to see a backdoor cover by the Panthers, and Nick was going to kind of speak it into existence when he was talking last week and said that if you're going to bet on Carolina, you might as well just bet on the over, and that's what Nick did. He ended up betting on the over, and luckily Cincinnati was still able to win by more than 4.5.
Yeah, this game, pretty miraculous how even it was. I was looking through the stats afterwards, and I'm just going to read a couple off here. So first downs, 24-24. Third down efficiency, Cincy, 7-13. Carolina, 7-14. Total yards, 373-375. Turnovers, 1 each. Penalty yardage, 39 for the Bengals, 37 for the Panthers. Time of possession, 29 minutes. Bengals, 31 minutes, Panthers. So really, I mean, on the stat sheet, this looked like basically an even game. It was really two sequences, I think, it came down to. The first one was the first drive from the Panthers getting stuffed on the goal line. And then the next one was the end of the first half where Joe Burrow got the touchdown. You know, that's your 14-point swing right there. The Bengals hang on, don't make any mistakes, and end up taking it by 10. I mean, I think that's kind of what you get when you have Joe Burrow versus Andy Dalton at the end of the day. So that was the right side to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, my third.
I'm three in. So yeah, the over. I mean, I could give a lot of the same points for. You know, these defenses were just not great coming in. I think the only reason it was down here was because of the weather, but that cleared up in the morning. And then I guess there was some people out there that just did not believe Andy Dalton had, you know, another solid performance in him. But he came out and gave us plenty, 24 points. Got the job done easily with Cincinnati clearing 30. So yeah, this thing was over with like a minute left in the third quarter. I was actually that long drive. Carolina goes down there, doesn't score right off the bat. That's like an over bettor's worst nightmare too, because it takes up all the time and it's basically 7 points. And then the opposing offense takes over on their own one. But even with that kind of bad luck at the beginning, we still got there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was actually a really fun game to watch in general. Both quarterbacks played very well. So,
yeah,
my third one of the week, the third winner, Jacksonville plus 6.5. This was actually one that Nick was almost going to throw into his as well. So almost another podcast win all around. Honestly, feel a little bit lucky about this one. I don't feel like Jacksonville, again, looked very good on Sunday. Defense maybe played a little bit better than expected, but overall their offense was saved by really a couple of really big runs from Tank Bigsby. I think they doubled – or no, they did not double up. C.J. Stroud doubled up Trevor Lawrence in all-around offense.
Oh, yeah,
I believe he had like 350. Trevor Lawrence didn't even hit 170 in passing yards. They're both effective. Both had two touchdowns, but I just feel like it watching the game, it felt like the Texans had the ball constantly threatening to score, and the Jags defense just kept pulling – honestly, stuff out of their ass, ended up you know, keeping this with to within a touchdown, but
yeah,
never felt great at all. Like, I, anytime the Jaguars had the ball, unless they were popping a big run, it just, nothing ever felt great. Obviously, you had the touchdown to Brian Thomas to start this, you know, start the game. That always feels nice.
I think
after that, it was just kind of, it just, it did not feel good. I felt kind of lucky to walk out with this one.
Yeah, the stats at the end of the game say Houston was definitely the better side here. Over 120 more total yards, 9 more first downs, way more efficient on third downs. I think you nailed it. Basically, what the Jags did in this one is they didn't turn the ball over, so they didn't give Houston any free points going the other way. And then Houston muffed a punt right at the beginning of the game, and the Jags, to their credit, did punch it in on that 2-yard pass to Thomas. So I think that's kind of where you know, you got your good bounce at the beginning of the game, and the Jacksonville was kind of just able to hold on the rest of the time enough to only lose by 4. So, but you know, we were winning 20-17 with the Jags fourth quarter. They even got stuffed on the one, on a fourth down attempt of their own. So, I think you could argue that this was the right side of a divisional game. If they're not really blowing them out, it's always going to, you know, kind of end up around this number. So that's why we, it's ugly, man, but we bet these big dogs in the division. Yep. Next one, another podcast bet. This one was probably the easiest bet of the week. KCLA under 39.5. To our credit, I think this was one of our, I think this was our favorite bet going into it too. We were both very confident in it. 17-10. I mean, that pretty much tells the story. Even with a Mahomes 60-yard touchdown pass in this game, it was never even a threat of going under, or excuse me, going over this 40 number. I don't know about you. I was scared on Sunday because the over had been ticked up to 41, which is a point and a half from where we gave it out. It's a lot of movement, especially at some key numbers, but this was an absolute breeze.
Yeah, I bet it multiple times on Sunday. I bet it at 39.5,
nice,
like early Sunday morning. Then it got to 40.5. I bet it again, and then it got to 41.5 on FanDuel, and I hammered it for a third time. And I was like, there's just no way
excellent.
This game is touching over 40 points. And then, obviously, Rashi Rice goes down super early in that game to a very freak injury, and the Chiefs' offense is even more in shambles than it already has been. So, I mean, this game was so boring that my wife Victoria designed our Christmas cards during this game instead of paying close attention to it. She could not be entertained by the defensive battle.
She's a Chiefs
fan
too.
Yeah, big Chiefs fan. Big Chiefs.
I was gonna say she's into it.
Yeah, she did kind of see me just getting more and more excited as the game went on because that's a pretty big winner right there. we just kept that under so.
How do you think Patrick Mahomes is playing so far this year? I'd like to hear it from someone inside the city.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not good, not anywhere near the level that you'd expect him to play. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it getting like a whole lot better. Like, that's no coincidence that you lose Tyreek Hill and your overall passing stats just kind of go down. Maybe one of the best wide receivers of all time, really, at this point. So. I don't know. It's going to be a rough year. It's going to be a very long season. We're going to be a lot of low scoring games, and it's going to be probably very boring for Chiefs fans compared to what we have had for the past 7 years.
Yeah, I think you guys need to make a move on the trade market. I know that's not usually the way NFL teams go, but it just seems like there are a couple teams where, you know, there are some veteran wide receivers, and it just makes so much sense. We'll see. We had a lot of these conversations last year, though, and they really didn't do much.
If so anything, you're the GM of the Chiefs. Who's department. Your number one veteran target?
I'd say if the Browns fall farther out of it, Cooper's interesting. I think I'd just go to Hopkins because he'd be so cheap too. I think we could get him for, you know, a late pick, and I think he's kind of the exact type of receiver Mahomes needs. Just really smart, good hands, and knows how to beat zone coverage. That's kind of where Patrick makes his bread and butter, and that's sort of what Rashee Rice did for them in the short area. So I think he'd be a for decent sure. fit for you. What do you think?
I agree with those two. I think those are the two most likely bigger names.
And they're
that would
realistic.
Get I did see an article today that was talking about the possibility of trading for Cooper Kupp when he gets healthy. And I was like, that would be kind of interesting, but I don't know.
Oh man.
That's a very tough trade to really make happen with the Rams. Cause you would like to think that they think they could reload for one more season after this.
Don't
one.
Make me become a Chiefs fan, Cody. I love Cooper Kupp too much for that to happen to him. I can't have you will this into existence.
I really don't
My
think
God.
In me, I don't think it's possible that it happens, but I did see that article and I got very excited.
Does make some sense. It does make some sense. Jesus. Yeah, okay. So. We're going to stop
and
talking.
And then I've also seen existence. Names like LaVisca Chenault, and I'm just like, ah, sweet.
That sounds more your speed.
There was
we'll get to the two losses. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, just real quick. There was a meme out there that it was like Chiefs fans, and it's like people started celebrating thinking that Brett Veach is on the phone with the Browns for Amari Cooper. And it was like everyone's like bummed out. It's like, find out you're probably just going to get MVS back on the team again.
Right, yeah. Or like Eli Moore or something. Like they're going to,
right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Shit. Yeah, we'll see where they go with it. But I think they do need to make a significant upgrade. It's for the second year in a row, too. So you'd figure they have a little more urgency. Last two, both of our losses, each of us went 4-1 this week. So I'll go with mine first. Arizona -3.5. Really never had a chance. I doubted Jaden Daniels, and apparently that's just not something you should ever do in your life. Absolutely perfect again, 42 points. I think they punted once this time. And I heard probably the most amazing Jaden Daniels stat I have heard so far. There's been a lot of good ones, but he has led more scoring drives than he has had incompletions so far in his career. That is, that says it all. 42-14. Arizona's offense really disappointing in this one too, but I think it just had a lot to do with the fact that that offense was just operating at such a high level. And, you know, if you just miss once or twice, all of a sudden you're down 21, and it's hard to dig out of that hole even against a bad defense in Washington that can just kind of pin their ears back. So, the Washington offense is just on another level right now, and I tried to step in front of it. So we'll take the loss. We had a good weekend overall, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you heard me kind of complain about my loss at the top of this, but Tennessee-Miami.
Yeah, we don't need to go into that again. Jesus.
Gets ruined by the most.
Some
the
shenanigans.
First time a call,
I mean,
that call has ever been called in NFL history. So that sucks. But again, 4-1 week, got to take it. I get back to 10-10. Nick gets to 11-9 on the season. So if you would have bet all 20 games so far, you would be plus a little bit of a unit. Not a full unit, but almost there. So doing pretty well. Again, big bounce back week after two rough ones. So hopefully
can
keep it rolling.
Yeah, the weeks 2 and 3, definitely some bad luck and some okay reads by us, to be honest. And, you know, we were in a pretty deep hole there. So to already be back to positive is good. I mean, I thought we'd have to, you know, weeks 4 to 6, I was hoping we'd kind of get back to even and then really start separating. But we'll take it all in one, I guess. Let's go to the week 5 look ahead real quick. I have a couple lines that we like already. I wanted to get Cody's opinions on them. I haven't actually talked to him about these yet. I see you like one on here, but I want to hear your opinions about the other ones as well. Carolina +4 at the Chicago Bears. I think any line of this size against that Caleb Williams offense right now is probably worth taking, especially because Carolina looks competent on offense. And I think I like their chances of holding this game close. What do you think about Carolina +4?
I like it as well. And to be honest with you, I did not like, I could have put same on probably 4 of these that you have here. As I was going through the lines for next week, I was like, oh, Carolina +4, kind of like that one, to go look at the sheet and see you had it. Went and saw Arizona +7.5, saw that you had it. And then I went and saw the Raiders one that you have as well and saw that I like it. So we are seeing the board very similarly here early in the week. So I like Carolina quite a bit as well.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it because neither one of us bet it. But the Rams-Bears game, pretty even. Honestly, the Rams played a little better. If you look at the stat sheet, more total yards, more first downs, more time of possession. They obviously just had a couple turnovers that were critical, and the Bears were able to capitalize in the red zone more often. So I think that those are the sort of things that are kind of vary game to game. And a veteran quarterback in Andy Dalton, you know, punches in 20 points. I think you're going to be able to cover +4 here. Washington -3. This one's really interesting. That's a home against Cleveland. They look like one of the worst teams in the league right now, but the book's not really giving Washington much respect here. I think this is clear that they're making a position here that they, I guess, what do you think? Is it the defense they don't believe in, or is it just betting against Daniels to keep this going? I mean, I think this line would be a little bigger than that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the defense is very bad, so I can understand why they would want to hang that line and try and get a bunch of Washington money in. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, as of so far in the season, you don't want to bet against Jaden Daniels. I mean, he's lit up a few – I guess the Cardinals are pretty bad, but a few okay defenses in the past couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
I And the other side of it is you just have to take the Browns, and that's just such a stinky bet to have to take the Browns. I don't know. My read in this game is if I had to bet either side, I'd probably take Washington -3, but kind of considering the under of 43.5, that way if there is if this Washington offense does slow down a little bit, maybe you can catch an under and not really have to put all your eggs in the Browns basket. But yeah, I don't know. I want to bet Washington -3, but it kind of feels like I'm going to listen to podcasts and a bunch of pros are going to be all over the Browns this week for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there's going to be a reason that this line is as low as it is. I got to wait to hear it. I'll probably get me off of it just because it really feel like it should be 5 or 6 if this was, a different team in the same situation. Bills +1 at the Texans. How do we not take that? It's that I don't think Houston's looked that impressive so far this year, and I think the Bills in a bounce back spot. My God, I love that this thing flipped too, which is usually bad for the team that becomes favored. It was like I think it was -2.5 for the Bills before the Sunday night game. They looked bad on the road in Baltimore. We kind of expected that too with the way the betting was going in that game, and you know it moves 3.5 points. This is classic. The classic situation we got to take advantage of.
100%. Just like how Sunday night was the classic situation, or yeah. You got to take the Ravens in that spot. This is right under where three, the Bills can bounce back. Absolutely love it. So, yeah, I don't necessarily have my 5 mapped out yet, but Bills will definitely be one of those teams that are in consideration. Like you said, Houston just hasn't looked as impressive as maybe they were sought to be coming into the season. And to be honest, the Bills have looked a lot better than people thought they were going to. They just kind of ran into a perfect game plan from the Ravens. They got ahead early. They were able to run the ball as much as they wanted. And if you let the Ravens get a 10-14 point lead on you, you're basically asking just to get ran out of the game. So rough start for the Bills kind of led them down that path. I expect them to fully bounce back. I think their team's really good, honestly.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud in his career splits against good defenses are pretty stark, too. He just faced a bad one in Jacksonville, lit him up. And I think the Bills are still good, despite what we saw Sunday night. Especially on pass defense, they are an above-average unit. So it'll be a test for Stroud. And if you're giving me a point with Josh Allen, please. Yeah, absolutely. Las Vegas +3 at the Broncos. This is like one of those Tomlin things. Like you just have to bet this because the Raiders have beat us like 11 years in a row, or sorry, 11 times in a row. So 5.5 straight years. And they just always cover against us. I know I don't like to do the team history things like that. That usually doesn't come into play, but in division sometimes, the football side of this is why is Bo Nix a 3-point favorite? We just saw him throw over 60 yards in an actual NFL football game. I think Gardner Minshew's fully capable of scoring 17 points on, a decent defense in Denver, but, we've seen us be scored on. I just, that's not a lot to ask. And I think if he gets there, there's a good chance they win the game, let alone cover +3.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all over this one with you. This one, if I could just lock in the +3, I would take it now.
Yeah, oh, God, I know.
That number's probably getting bet down. So,
yeah, I would lock Broncos, in the +3. But this would be easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just the Broncos are coming off two very, very close – or not very close, sorry. They blew out the Bucs and then a very close, difficult game against the Jets. And obviously two big wins for them, which are huge early in the season. But kind of just expect them to maybe not regress because their offense didn't look that great on Sunday, but definitely expect them to probably find a loss in this one. And
Even the best defenses in the NFL allow points. We've allowed 16 points the last two games combined. That's just not how football is. You allow, like the Steelers, they were fantastic the first 3 weeks of the year. They go to the Colts, who have looked okay at times, and they score 27 on them. It's just, like, Las Vegas is going to put some points on the board, and this is just a spot where the rookie quarterback kind of lets you down. Arizona +7.5 at San Francisco, another spot where Kyler usually plays pretty well against the Niners. And I think the 49ers are kind of being, forgiven for their first three games because they just came off a blowout of the Patriots at home. Like, congratulations. We saw the Jets against the Patriots and then the Jets against the Broncos. They're the worst team in the NFL, I think. So I wouldn't give them a lot of credit for that. 7.5 is a big number for Kyler. I think we'll always be in it. Even if we're down 14 late, We'll have a chance to backdoor this thing. So if this is at 7.5 on Sunday or Saturday, I guess, when we record, it's in there.
Nice. Yeah, another one that I like quite a bit as well. I'll be curious. I'm going to try and figure out what the Kyler Murray versus the 49ers stats are looking like, because the 49ers have been relatively solid for almost his entire career. And I would almost bet that he has close to a 500 or a winning record against them. Seems like he's always
against them tough. I don't know if the ATS numbers look great, just because some of those games the 49ers have scored like 45 and just really ran away with it on the other side of the ball. But I just know that Kyler's offenses have had some success against really good 49ers defenses. And I don't think this is like the best version of the ones they've seen the past 5 years. So I could see them getting in the 20s. And, you know, if you get into the 20s, you got a good chance to cover 7.5. That's just that's a big number in an NFL game. New Orleans plus 5.5, Cody, your boys, too big of favorites on Monday night. What was overlooked, I think, because New Orleans lost, they allowed 2 defensive touchdowns against them and really dominated the game against the Falcons, played pretty well. Again, total yards, all that sort of thing. They had a lot more success on offense, and I think this is a decent team, and that might be all there is to it to take care of a 5.5 number against this Kansas City team right now. The problem is they have a lot of injuries on offense, so we'll have to see where that goes, but it's in consideration.
Yep, don't blame you. I have already placed a bet on the Kansas City New Orleans under a 42.5. So that as long as it stays, if it stays north of 40, it's 100% going to be in my 5. So I'm right there with
you. I'm just going to do that now because you're so confident in it. I have to, one sec. Go ahead.
Already there with you. So yeah, it's in there.
I'm following you.
And then, New Orleans plus 5.5 is the side to be on. I mean, the Chiefs had trouble blowing out average teams before. They've lost their best offensive weapons, and I don't see it getting any better next week with Xavier Worthy leading the wide receiver room and some version of Kareem Hunt / Carson Steele in the running back room. So, yeah, I would be on that side. I won't bet it because I hope the Chiefs blow them out, but if I had to, it would be New Orleans plus 5.5 for sure.
Fair enough. Any others you have your eye on?
Just something I found interesting. Since he plus 2.5, I would love to see it get to 3 or more personally before I bet it. It's a little too risky under a field goal.
Their defense is so bad. Oh, but I want that one too. Who's, 3 who's over 3 at home.
Cam Taylor Britt. Taylor Britt. Mm-hmm. That dude talks so much trash, and he just gets burned at least once a week. He's on a generational run of just talking trash and then getting burned on Sundays. It's hilarious.
Yeah, this defense just looks very bad. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think the biggest indictment of your team so far is how bad you looked against this Bengals defense, because I think you can make excuses for a lot of the other games. You know, a lot of the other games, it's Atlanta on the road, it's the Chargers on the road, it's Baltimore. All these teams, you could argue, have pretty good defenses and can drag you into these sorts of games. But Cincinnati, man, that team looks terrible on defense. But I want if it's plus 3.5, I think I gotta take it. God damn.
Yeah. And then another thing I found interesting, 2 divisional matchups with an over-under over 50 points this week, Baltimore-Cincinnati and San Francisco-Arizona. So interesting. 2 very high over-unders on some divisional games. Typically like to look at the unders in those games, but Vegas is throwing a high number up there and daring you to take it a little bit. So kind of interesting play by Vegas for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to look into the numbers on high divisional totals. Maybe there's something to it, but unless you got anything else, Cody, I think we are going to get out of here, and we will see you guys on Wednesday when we record our Week 5 preview. Codes.
Yep. Sounds good. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.